ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
This is D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution here with the 356th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons came away with a 23-20 victory today over the Cleveland Browns to even their record at 2-2 on the season. It's also the first time the Falcons have won back-to-back games since Week 8 and Week 9 of the 2020 season. The Falcons are off to a great start here in 2022. One prognosticator projected they would only win two games, so they're already at that mark. So they have proven some of those low ball projections on the win total to be utter ridiculous. And so we'll move on, and the Falcons will move on to play Tampa Bay next week. But they're coming off of a big win over the Browns, who are projected to be one of the contenders in the AFC. But, you know, they are out without their quarterback, Deshaun Watson, who's serving an 11-game suspension. But it's still thought to be a pretty good Cleveland team that came in here. Nick Chubb did run for 118 yards, but the Falcons prevailed by outrunning, the Browns by gaining them 202 yards rushing on 35 carries from a committee of running backs. Cordarrelle Patterson started out. He's had a knee issue, took some hits, and then they moved on to Tyler Allgeier and Caleb Huntley, who was called up from the practice squad on Saturday, and even Avery Williams spent some time in the backfield today against the Cleveland Browns. All the running was great and everything, but the game was won again here at the end by the defense. The Falcons took a lead with 2:33 to go, 20-23 on a Young Wei Koo 45-yard field goal. Then Jacoby Brissett and the Browns were on the move, but they got a sack. The Falcons, for the second week in a row, got a sack from Grady Jarrett that dropped them back and made it a long third and 18 there. And Jacoby Brissett tried to connect on a route he had hit earlier to Donovan Peoples-Jones, but Falcons cornerback D. Alford came up with the interception. So let's talk to Coach Arthur Smith on the defense in the second half and getting this win.
It's never perfect in an NFL game. That's why I really, going through there, the first half, we knew it was going to be a slow, the way that they played. They were going to try to grind it out, but they made the big stops when they had to, regardless of how that first half went. And then the second half, they played really well, and then especially down the stretch. Really proud of these guys. That was a really good team win. That's what we pride ourselves on. We're a team, and we got contributions from all over the place.
Yeah, no doubt. And today, the Falcons did a good job here in the red zone on Cleveland's first drive. They're all the way down to the two. And, they get mad because they can't score, and they go back to the four, and then they go for it on fourth down, and the Falcons dropped it to a zone, covered everybody up, and Jacoby Brissett had to throw the ball away. So they got a stop to open the game. If the Browns had kicked the field goal there, they didn't take the points. They lose by three. You see that happen so many times. Here's what Arthur Smith had to say about the red zone defense in the last two wins.
Our defense, we adjust. We got really, really smart players and coaches, and certain things. That's what it is. It's a constant work in progress. There's a lot of things we'll have to clean up tomorrow, and we got to be objective. And there's some things we've done differently down there, and those guys communicate well. And a lot of times it's a chess match, and I thought they handled it well today.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, the Falcons went up 10-0, blew the lead. Seventh, then Cleveland took a 13-10 lead, and then the Falcons dug in their boots there and ran the ball 75 yards down the Browns' throat, 10 straight running plays, 8 of them by Caleb Huntley, 2 by Tyler Allgeier, to take the lead and establish that, hey, we're not here to be played with. So here's what Coach Arthur Smith said about Caleb Huntley and the other running backs stepping up.
Yeah, I mean, there's another guy in our program, and we believe in this team and guys, and that's our charge, is to coach everybody on this roster, and you never know when you need next guy has to step up, and Caleb did that today. So did Tyler Allgeier, and so did Avery Williams. He had a big run late in the game, and, you know, we had CP early as a good contribution in the run game.
Well, all right. That, you know, Caleb Huntley's a guy we've been writing about for 2 years, been on the practice squad out of Ball State, you know, ran for a lot of yards in the MAC from Locust Grove, from the south side of Atlanta, Riverdale Road area. Here is Caleb discussing the game.
How was it to get in there and get some run like that?
It was
sticking with you since you first got here.
It was crazy, man. It was just a matter of time, for real. Just stayed patient and waited for my opportunity.
Mm-hmm. How did it feel when y'all were ripping off those runs at the 10-play run drive?
It felt great because I feel like offense was being stifled for a minute, but when we got in there, we made something shake, and we made the offense go.
Mm-hmm. And how did it feel on the sidelines when the, you know, defense comes up with those plays at the end there?
It felt great. Me and my boy D was just talking about it last week when we was in L.A. It was like he was kind of discouraged because he wasn't getting a lot of play time. But I was like, bro, just stick with it. Keep grinding.
Mm-hmm.
We built for this. Me and him both come from the south side, so things could get kind of hard. But we here, and I was like, it's only a matter of time. And when it was his time, he made his play. And I'm proud of him.
All right. And a lot of people were happy when the Falcons picked Tyler Allgeier. Didn't believe he'd be there in the fifth round. But he's a hard-running rookie running back, and we saw that today on his 41-yard run where he carried Grant Delpit about 12 yards. I'm going to go back and look at the film. I know on the TV review it was at least 10 yards. I think he, you know, he was trying to get to the end zone there. He got it down to the 4. Falcons ended up getting a field goal out of that run. But it was part of the rushing attack that was relentless against the Cleveland Browns. Let's hear from Tyler Allgeier.
Feel to get it going out there.
Felt great. You know, it took all 11 of us, so it was good.
On the 41-yarder, I counted 10 yards. I think you dropped them about 12, though.
Oh, was it really that bad?
I'm going to go back and look at it, but what was that determination at the end of that run there?
I just think shoot, just drag the guy and just trust my rules, and then just couldn't do it without the O-line and the receivers blocking. So, you know, that's a 1-11th, you know, all-11 team, all-11 drive right there.
And what about the group? You, Caleb, even Avery got a run in there. What does it say about the group that y'all were able to put up 200 again today?
Yeah, I just thought we all just fed off each other. Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest thing. You know, we don't like, obviously everyone wants to touch the rock, everyone wants to score, but I think all a group collective, like, as long as we got that dub, and when we did, and shoot, you just said it, we just rushed for 200 some yards, whatever. So I think that's a big thing in our room.
All right, the boys up front, we got to talk to a couple of them this week because they did all the people moving. And hey, I don't want to pour a water on the fire here at all, but you know, it must be noted that Cleveland was -3 defensive starters up front. Miles Garrett, he's one of the best in the business. Taven Bryant from Florida, a lot of us remember him. Y'all thought the Falcons were going to take him before he went to Jacksonville. And then Jadeveon Clowney also didn't play. So they were down 3 defensive starters. But anyway, you know, if you got a helmet, you're in the pros, you know, you're not supposed to get pushed around for 200 yards. And that's what the Falcons did today. So let's hear from Elijah Wilkerson on how it feels when the running backs break off those big runs.
Yeah, you know, it feels like we're all in sync. It feels like, you know, everything is paying off, what we practice for all week. And it feels good, man. It, like I said to him, you know, it makes it feel fun. It's fun to us when we get to go out there and run for 200 yards and, you know, put the team on our backs.
Yeah, and surprisingly, the Falcons are 2-2. Here's what Elijah Wilkinson had to say about 2-2 and how they want to take things one day at a time.
I can't speak for everybody else, but, you know, the way that I look at it, you know, we're 1-0 this week. It's a new week next week. We come to work every week, and we come to be 1-0. So that's how you got to approach this this game, you know, every single day, every single week, you know, day by day, week by week, game by game. Just take it one step at a time and see where you're at in the end.
Yeah, I asked him, my question was, hey, what do you have to say to those people who said y'all were just going to win two games? And he didn't take the bait. He went straight with the 0-1 stuff there. Sharp guy, Mr. Wilkinson from Lovejoy High. Elijah, here's his reaction to the Grady sack and the D offered interceptions.
It was electrifying. I think I was mic'd up, so you could probably hear me screaming. You could probably hear my voice right now, a little hoarse, but I was screaming at the top of my lungs. Oh, yeah, Grady. Then D got the pick, you know, and he fought through the adversity. He let up a play early in the game, and, you know, he kept pressing, and look, he's rewarded with a pick, and that's how we work. So I think that that's, you know, a credit to what we do every single day when we come to work, and just it shows.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Chris Lindstrom was also part of that group that was, you know, paving the way for the Falcons today. Here's what Chris had to say about what he wants their identity to be.
Just the style of play. We just want to come out, play hard, work hard, be, you know, assignment sound on every single snap. And I think we have that. Again, it's truly a team effort and takes all 11 to run the ball.
All right. You know, Chris has been, you know, they picked up his fourth year option this year and been one of the stables, one of the pillars along the offensive line. So we asked Chris, what would it be like being able to win two close games like this in a row?
It's an incredible feeling. The defense played outstanding, and it was so awesome to watch them go out there and make a play. And I mean, Grady is, you know, there's a reason why he's Grady. He earns that every day and went out there and made a great play and then followed it up. I mean, it was a great job by our defense.
All right, let me go through some game notes for us here before we go to our break. The Falcons offense recorded 403 total net yards, including a season-high 202 rushing yards. Atlanta's offense eclipsed 200 yards rushing for the second time in four games this season, marking the first time the Falcons have reached that mark in two of the first four games of a season since 2010, and the fifth time in franchise history. The Falcons rushed for over 200 yards in multiple games for the first time since 2016. So when you can run the ball, you know, that opens up a whole lot of things for you, and the Falcons have been able to do that here early in the season. Okay, the Atlanta defense forced a turnover for the fourth consecutive game to start the season, and they lead the turnover margin 2-1. It makes the first time since 2015 the Falcons have forced a turnover in their first four games, and that was Dan Quinn's first year. The defense also limited Cleveland to 1-3 on their red zone trips and held the Browns to 36% on third downs. The Falcons had one penalty as a team, and Lorenzo Carter served as the Falcons' sixth captain for the game today. So with that, we're going to take a break. So this is the Bowtie Chronicles podcast from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach. An air freshener can make your car smell like paradise. A drive to Daytona Beach will actually get you there. Beach on. Plan your trip today at DaytonaBeach.com.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
You know, the passing numbers weren't very good here today. Marcus Mariota had an interception, too. But when you win, nobody cares about, you know, of course everybody wants their stats, but it looks kind of, you know, when you win, you don't really look at the fact that, hey, they only completed seven of 19 passes, but, you know, for 139 yards. But when you're running for 202, you can probably get away with that. Drake London was targeted 7 times. Kyle Pitts got 4 targets, got 1 catch for 25 yards. So the fantasy owners are going to be fussing again this week. But that's on them. The Falcons got a win. And Kyle Pitts was there to talk about the complete team effort.
I mean, we all work together. So offense helps defense helps the offense, special teams, you know, it all correlates. So for all of us to put together a complete game, I feel like that was a good job.
Yep, pretty close to a complete game. And Pitts also, he knew that this was going to be a tough game going against the Browns.
I mean, we knew it was going to be a four-quarter fight. So, you know, we had that mindset all week, which it is every week. But just going out there, keep fighting to the end, and then Coop put it up, put it through, and then, you know, we got the win.
Yeah, and another big play earlier in the game, the Browns were driving, and Brissett hit David Njoku for a nice little gain there. But Jalen Hawkins put the wood on him, not caused a fumble. So we talked to Jalen Hawkins about the defense coming up big at the end of this game.
Oh, man, I'm just so proud of my dog, D. I'm proud of just how everybody played. It wasn't perfect. You know, there's always things you could fix, but I'm just proud that everybody just honed in, didn't fold, played to the end, believed in each other, and I like the direction that we're going in. We just got to keep getting better.
Here is Jalen on his big forced fumble.
I felt good, man. I went in with the intent, you know, to make the tackle, hit him hard. Shout out to my boy Rashawn for getting the ball. Mm-hmm. That's really big, you know what I'm saying? We recovered it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was just a good play, you know, getting our offense back out there so we could score.
Yep. Big plays are all around. He certainly had one there. So hats off to Jalen Hawkins. Now, Lorenzo Carter had a nice pass block in the game. He's playing out there at outside linebacker. We discussed the red zone defense with Lorenzo Carter.
We just got the right guys. I think we got the right group of guys. Nobody's going to fold. Nobody's going to blink. When they get down there, we know we got to do it. We can't concede points. And I think that's one thing that we got. We got some dogs, so I love it.
All right. Lorenzo Carter here also. We didn't do the mailbag this week. This is a big win. We want to make sure we got all the players in for you this week. But we'll be back taking questions from Tampa Bay next week for our mailbag. So that's why we're proceeding along here. We want to get as many players as we could in this edition or this episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. And we got a few more here left. We'll hear some more from Lorenzo Carter, Richie Grant, and D. Alford, the star of the day with the big interception to close it out. So we also discussed with Carter some of the makeup of the defense. And here's what he had to say.
Yeah, we got some dogs. We're deep. It's a team, first of all. I mean, we don't have big superstars or guys that everybody's all looking at. But when it comes down to it, everybody on this team is going to fight. And that's what I love.
Yep, and then, you know, Richie Grant closed it out in Seattle with the interception, and it was D. Ford here today to close it out with an interception. Let's hear from Richie Grant on the defense closing out these games.
I told you, we're fighting, bro. Like, you got to believe those words, man. We're fighting. I think this team believes it. We believe in each other. So when we get in those moments, it's going back to the basics, our training, believing in it, and then producing.
Yep, and then D. Alford, y'all, you remember the story we did where, you know, Coach kind of said, hey, you might want to keep an eye on this guy. And a story on him bulking up to 185 pounds with the strength coach, Dr. Stallworth. And, you know, D made some plays in the exhibition season and started out, you know, he started the season as the nickelback, but then they went to Ford a little bit and now they're back to D. So, you know, he was down and at the L.A. game because he wasn't getting, you know, the time he was, you know, it was playing time. And that's what people want to, they want to get on the field. So he's back. And, you know, the Browns looked like they were going after him at some points. He gave up the 1 catch to Peoples Jones. And, but here when they came back to him late, hey, he was there to make the interception in a different type of coverage. So here is D. Alford discussing his play.
Take us through the interception there at the end, D.
It was a play we was in cover two. I had to play the dagger. Unfortunately, they didn't run a dagger route. They went a seam route, so I was able, you know, to speed turn, get my head around, back to the quarterback, and make a play on the ball, and I did seal the deal.
What does it say about the defense getting a pick again to end the game? Y'all did it last week in Seattle.
That's what we want to do, you know, every game, every week, just create takeaways. You know, takeaways win ball games. So as a secondary, that's our main goal going into the game, create takeaways, whether it's fumbles, you know, or interceptions.
And how did you stay on top of your rules and so forth? They got a couple got a pass on you earlier, and but you kept fighting, it looked like.
Just next play mentality. Mm-hmm. Everyone in the secondary have a next play mentality. You know, no one perfect. Everyone get caught on. So just having that mindset, you know, help you to make the play, the next play that come your way.
We're going to wrap up here with a few more player notes, and then we're going to wrap up this episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. We've touched on most of these, so but Mariota was 7-19 for 139, 68 passer rating. Algier had a career high 85 yards on 10 carries. Huntley 56 on 10 carries and a touchdown. Huntley's rushing touchdown marks the first of his career. Score came on the 10-play drive, consisting of all runs, 8 by Huntley. We covered that. Olamide Zaccheaus had 2 receptions for 55 yards. That big 42-yarder, and then the face mask by my guy Denzel Ward moved the ball down into field goal range. So, you know, Denzel, you can't grab people's face masks. You know better. I know his dad, Paul, and Nicole, his mom, they all are from the same neighborhood up there. Mikael Walker finished with 11 total tackles, both which tied a career best. Rashad Evans had 10. That's what the linebackers had to be busy today. That was one of our keys to the game was, hey, Walker and Evans are going to have to be on Chubb, and they were. He did get 118 yards, but, you know, hey, they did get their tackles too. Evans also had the fumble recovery, the one that Hawkins knocked off of David Njoku. Lorenzo Carter had 7 tackles, 1 pass deflection, and 1 quarterback hit. Jalen Hawkins had 5 tackles with the forced fumble. Richie Grant had 5 tackles. Grady Jarrett had 5, 2 quarterback hits, 1 sack, and a tackle for a loss. D. Alford had 3 tackles, 1 interception, 1 pass deflection. Pass breakup, however y'all call it. His game-sealing interception with 103 left in the fourth quarter was the first of his NFL career. Y'all know he's a Canadian League football all-star, won a Grey Cup up there. So he's got a Grey Cup ring and everything. Tyquan Graham recorded a career-high 5 tackles and 1 quarterback hit. Youngway Koo was 3 of 3 on his field goals. His 16th game with at least 3 field goals and 1 extra point for 10 total points. And then Bradley Pinion punted 3 times, average at 50.1. I had him at 4.96 seconds on his first punt of the game, that 50-yarder. Then I didn't do any more hang times after that. So with that, we're going to wrap up here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. The Falcons are off to Tampa Bay for a 1 p.m. start down there next Sunday. Take on Tom Brady and the Bucks. With that, we're going to ask you to take care and have a great rest of your week. This is D. Orlando Ledbetter from the Bowtie Chronicles podcast of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut, are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.